Testing, one, two. Let me see if this is all right. Testing, one, two. Okay. Okay, let me lower this volume a little bit because I know it's going to be too loud. Okay, we're ready.
Well, you want to, if you haven't hit anything
it's yet? Already going. So. Well, anyway, I want to welcome everyone today. Let me lower this volume a little bit. There you go. I put up a study. Here it is. We're ad-libbing today a little bit. We are one of Messiah congregation, Kahal Chad by Mashiach, just a little piece of the Israel of God, okay? Everybody knows that. And today is the last great day of the Feast of Tabernacles, right? Yeah. And it's the, you know, I was thinking this morning, I was doing some reading and stuff like that. It's the last, everything pertains to the agricultural Moedim, the Feasts of God. And they all have to do with the, you know, the harvests. Harvest is really important. Yeah. So it's actually, that's why it's called the ingathering, Chag HaAsif. It's the last great harvest. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's the last harvest of the year, and everybody knows that, right? So let's pray and ask God to bless and anoint this reading today, and this is all going to be new here. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you. We could be here today on your last day of your feast, this eighth day. We rehearse this, Lord and God, one day we shall be with you. We always ask you to cover us in your holy blood of any sin, any spot, any blemish, as we make our way to the living God. Bless everyone here, touch them, heal them, strengthen them, lead us and guide us with your Holy Spirit in every day of our life. I praise and thank you, Lord and God, that we could even know about these things when the world is in darkness. Bring more brothers and sisters to us, Father, wherever they may be. Let us contact them or have them contact us. We just love brothers and sisters. Bless and anoint this study, and let it be fruitful for everyone, and let it be beneficial in Yeshua's name. And I thank God for everything you have done for us and everything you're going to do in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
Shabbat shalom. And it's so nice that this is the last harvest of the year. It's not New Year, as everybody knows, right? Because you go to Exodus 34:22, it says it's the Feast of Ingathering at the year's end. That's 34:22, if you're looking that up there, okay? That's really important to know where it's at. So that's it's the Feast of Ingathering at the end, at the year's end. In other words, it's at the end of the year. It's the last harvest. Today, of course, is October 7th, 2015, and let's see. God has his own calendar. We're in the 22nd day of Ha'etanim, right? And we all know what Etanim means by now, I hope, because it's the 22nd day. God is the first and the last forever. He's the living waters, the perennial brooks, you know, and that's really important. And for the people that don't know, the Ha is the definite article. The Aleph and the Tav are the last, first and last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And the word Nim is the perpetual, constant, perennial, ever-flowing streams. And that pertains to God, which is totally lost. That's all been erased. And only thing that people know today is it's October or Tishrei, which is ridiculous. Let's see. So if we go to 1 Kings 8:2, everybody knows that's where Ethanim is, right?
Yes.
I was telling that. We always tell people that all the time. 1 Kings 8:2. Got that so memorized, sure. Where it's Ha'etanim, the seventh month. It's not New Year. When we come back, we're leaving today. I'm talking about when, right now, everybody should know our servers are down, so this is the only time you'll get to hear this. And I'll be recording this. This will be on my external drive, which is right here. See this drive right here? This has my whole website on it, and so does the one at the at the new building we have. We have a new location. We're no longer at 6971 Sunnywood Drive. That is gone. But we'll have a new location just a few doors down, so it's not that far away. So it's really nice. So I'll have everything uploaded to that soon, as soon as we get that going. Well, today's the eighth day, a Sabbath, and most people have never heard of that. And even the Seventh-day Adventists, you know, they might do the seventh-day Sabbath, some of them. There's so many versions of Seventh-day Adventists, but they never heard of the Feast of God or the Holy Days of God, you know? Mm-hmm. So we're very fortunate that we read the Bible. And it's so strange because when we tell people these things, they think we got this, like, this secret knowledge or some kind of wisdom. I said, all you have to do is read your Bible. It's really that simple. And it says in Leviticus 23, you were right, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of the seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto Jehovah. And you might say, how does Judaism get New Year when it says that distinctly and clearer in English or in Hebrew? You know, it's the feast in the seventh month. On the first day is a holy convocation, Mikra Kodesh. We're not going to do any work at all. And 7 days we're going to make an offering unto God. And that we praise and thank the Lord every day. Then it says, on the eighth day shall be a holy convocation unto you. And again, they give God an offering made by fire unto Yehovah. It's a solemn assembly. Today's a solemn assembly. It's a day to gather together, rehearsing the day that we're all going to be together with God, and you shall do no work therein. You know, I was thinking the number eight today. I was thinking how God has 7 days of the week. And even in music, there's seven in the scale, there's seven notes, but the eighth starts number one again. And how this, even though it's called the eighth day of the feast, it's really starting a whole new creation, you know. That's what we hope to be, start with God, a whole new existence when we meet Him. And so in God's seventh month, we hope for this eighth day, which starts a whole new life with God in one of these days, in someone's lifetime. And I always look at Zach because he's the youngest. he might be here for all the excitement. Well, I mean, you know, it's got to happen in someone's lifetime. And the only reason I say it's got to happen because by that same word, there was a flood in the time of Noah. So we know that. You know, historically, and archaeology has proven that there was a deluge around the world, and you know, we know that's all true. So, by the same word, in someone's lifetime, the trumpet is going to sound, and you better be atoned if you want to tabernacle with the Lord throughout eternity and then have that eighth day, which starts a whole new creation with God, a whole new existence spiritually. Praise the Lord! And this is atzeret in Hebrew, you know, it's really a nice word. It said it. And it's a solemn assembly. And it's also atzarah in some other scriptures. You could read that. So back to Leviticus 23. These are the feasts of Jehovah, which we're very fortunate to know. Not by any genius of ours. What did we simply all do? We read it. Which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations. And shall offer an offering made by fire. A lot of people ask us about this offering by fire. What we do today is, it says very simply, we offer the calves of our lips, the praise and thanks to God. You know, and this is the offerings we give to God. We thank God that we can even know these things. And we do this every day of the feast, you know. This is besides the Sabbaths of Jehovah, and besides your gifts, and besides all your vows, and besides all your free will offerings, which you give unto Jehovah. And then, of course, on the 15th day, we already did that. There's a little sukkah out there. I don't know if they could see it. On the 15th day, you build some kind of booth. And, you know, it's just symbolic. Remember, it's just symbolic, and it's a rehearsal for our life with God. And we went and got branches on the first day. And on the eighth day shall be so the first day and the eighth day are Sabbaths, right? Remember that? Today we're doing the last one. And we went and got boughs of goodly trees and we went out into our yard. There's trees everywhere, so we just cut those down. And you shall keep a feast unto Jehovah 7 days in the year. So it's a feast for 7 days. Still haven't grasped that concept. It's supposed to be, you know, because the more people you have, the more you could celebrate. You know, when you're all alone, sometimes it's like, it's hard to have a feast by yourself. You know, but especially, and I'm talking about in this time, this generation that we live in. And it's a statue forever in your generations. And we're going to celebrate it in the seventh month. I still do not know how Judaism gets away with this when it says the seventh month. And they're saying Happy New Year to everybody. Dwelled in boots 7 days, all that an Israelite's born. We dwelled in a boot. We're all born again into the Israel of God. I was talking to some people this week, and they still, you know, they even agree that the Gentiles, he said, we're Gentiles, we don't have to do this. I said, but wait a minute, don't you remember you're grafted in? He goes, oh yeah, we're grafted into the vine. I said, then what do you become? He goes, oh, we're one. I said, so you just said that you agreed with us.
But then he says the Gentiles don't have to do it.
I said, but if I said, look, if, I even explained, if you're in one army and the sergeant says march this direction, you're not going to go a different direction, right? You all have to walk the same walk and do the same thing. So anyway, it's so hard to get it to some people's minds. We made our generations know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am Jehovah your God. And Moses declared unto the children of Israel the feast of Jehovah, and which we did again, and we just thank God we could do that. And today's the eighth day. We are having a holy convocation. We're all together. And we thank God. We're not doing any work today. And let's see. In Nehemiah, they even did the same thing. They found written in the Torah, which Jehovah had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month. They didn't even call it New Year. And that they should publish and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem. We would probably do that, but there isn't too many people around here that we can notify, because no one really knows about these things. You know, because they had a lot of believers. They had to just be, hey, guess what? The feasts are coming. And they all knew what they were talking about. Today, you know, we have put different advertisements in different newspapers and periodicals in the past and did nothing, because no one knew what we were speaking about. But anyway, we're supposed to publish and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, go forth unto the mount. We fetched olive. We don't have any olive branches and pine branches, myrtle branches, palm trees, branches of thick trees. We have that. And we made booths as it's written. So the people went forth and brought them and made themselves booths. Everyone, here's where they put them, on the roof of their house and in their courts and in the courts of their house of God and in the street of the water gate and in the street of the gate of Ephraim. So they put them everywhere, basically, anywhere, right?
Good.
And it says, all the congregation of them that will come again out of the captivity made booths and sat under the booths. And we don't understand this part, for since the days of Yeshua, the son of Nun, unto that day had not the children of Israel done so, and there was very great gladness. And they did the same thing we're doing. Also, day by day, and from the first day unto the last day, he read in the book of the law, the Torah of God, and they kept the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day was a solemn assembly, according unto the manner. And there it is right there. And even in the brothers in Nehemiah's time were doing this. And I guess if we were still writing a book, we could say, and even in this century, we're doing the same thing. We found written in the book that we're supposed to do this. And on the eighth day is a solemn assembly. Here we are. I wish there was, we could write some, well, we make sure you write your journals and your documents that you kept the feasts and the Sabbath and the whole thing. Because, you know, you never know when you're going to expire. But it'd be nice to have some recordings, or, I mean, not verbal. I mean, you could write things down that you did all this stuff, and whoever's going to find it in the future will go, wow, they did the feast. Where's that? And they might go look it up. You never know. Mm-hmm. Second Chronicles, also the time of Solomon. Solomon kept the feast 7 days, and all Israel with him, a very great congregation. From the entering of Hamath unto the river of Egypt, and in the eighth day, they made a solemn assembly. Even Solomon did this. Isn't that amazing? I mean, Solomon's before Nehemiah, of course. Yeah. But I mean, they all knew about the feast, and they all knew about the eighth day. And they kept the Hanukkah, they kept the dedication of the altar 7 days, and the feast 7 days. So they, you know, it's amazing. It's so nice that at that time, you know, nowadays we got these things called jobs that get in the way, and you know, we don't have communities anymore. We can really feel the power of the feast and the real celebration part. You know what I mean? Because imagine if there was like 100 of us right now, just 100, and everyone was praising the Lord and keeping the feast. And imagine what they had, like, you know, they had like hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people doing this. You know, I was noticing in the Bible, there's many, if you look up solemn assembly, there's many other solemn assemblies. Even the Feast of Unleavened Bread on the seventh day, they had a solemn assembly. And so do we. And that's a different kind of a solemn assembly. That's on the seventh day, Feast of Unleavened Bread. Joel, the book of Joel, He says, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the elders. That's Joel 1:14. And all the inhabitants of the land into the house of Jehovah, your God, and cry unto Jehovah. And even Joel, in chapter 2:15, he blows the trumpet in Zion. He says, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. And then I was noticing, even the pagans use the word atzarah, because we have in 2 Kings 10:20, we have Jehu, who was a good person at this time. He proclaimed a solemn assembly for Baal. And they proclaimed it, and he gathered all the weasels of Baal together, and he made sure there was no people of God there, yes, of Jehovah, and then he had them all slain. That's in 2 Kings chapter 10. You can read that. We'll read that later. But that was a different solemn assembly. He was wiping out all the evil, and he broke down all the images and burnt everything, and he did such a great thing. We couldn't really do that today in our locale where we live. We'd be locked up, and we couldn't break down images. I know. I could just imagine Louise with a little hammer going smashing little idols in people's yard.
They just buy a new plastic one.
Get me a ball peen
hammer.
Yeah.
We have thought to do that, but then we thought, to what avail would it be? We just get locked up.
It's going to the heathen.
Yeah, we're in this. We're in the land of the heathen right now. We're in the Galut here, and it's really hard to really fathom any of these things that they did, because they had free access, you know, and they were in charge. Well, anyway, we're going to read a little bit of John chapter 7, if you want to follow along. I'll give you a moment. I like it because it's John chapter 7, which is important. I don't know if that's a coincidence. Let me know when you get there.
First verse.
Yeah, we're going to start from number 1, even though there was no numbers. After these things, Yeshua walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. So he didn't want to hang around the Jews that hated him. Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. And that's obviously the rulers at that time weren't keeping the Feast of Tabernacles. And Rome wasn't. And neither in Israel at this time, because their Roman Empire was in charge. And that's why they call it the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles. His brethren therefore said unto him, depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that you do. For there is no man that does anything in secret, and he himself seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world. And it's really sad, because neither did his brothers believe in him, his brethren. Isn't that terrible? And they actually got a chance to see all the great works. I mean, the multiplying of the fishes and the loaves, and the raising of Lazarus and from the dead, and opening the blind eyes and healing lepers and all kind of things Yeshua did. I mean, the world itself couldn't even contain all the books of all the things that that Yeshua did. But they still didn't believe in him, because it was just so hard to understand that this person, how could he be the Son of God when we know his mother? She's right over there. She was born right over there. There's her house. And his brother, we know everybody, you know, there's all the friends. We know when he was born. You know, that was very hard for them to grasp. And Yeshua said unto him, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. Right. The world cannot hate you, but me it hates, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. Boy, just think, if they were evil then, how are they today?
Mm-hmm. More evil.
He says,
just in a different way.
And Yeshua and the apostles, they had a place to go to. And it says, go ye up unto the feast. I go not yet unto this feast. My time is not yet come. In other words, if we were living at this time, we would have all been in Jerusalem going up to the feast at the temple. Mm-hmm. And it must have been a wonderful celebration, you know, because everyone was there. When he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. We've been to Galilee. It's nice to go there. But when his brethren were gone up, then went he up also unto the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret, because he didn't want to cause a rumpus there. Then the Jews sought him at the feast, saying, where is he? You know, they wanted to know, where is he? It's amazing that these Jews would start a rumpus at the feast, you know, start, it's a feast of God. You know, they should, it's supposed to be the feast of Jehovah, and they're making a big scene. And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him. You know, you think, and they're supposed to be focusing on the feast, and they're focusing on Yeshua. For some said, he's a good man. Others said, nay, he deceives the people. How could he be deceiving the people when they seen the blind eyes open, the deaf, the ears open? And howbeit no man spoke openly of him for fear of the Jews. So they're just like, you know, talking amongst themselves. Now about the midst of the feast, Yeshua went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knows this man letters, having never learned? Yeshua answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. If any man will do the Father's will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaks of himself seeks his own glory. But he that seeks the Father's glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness in him. Amen. Did not Moses give you the Torah, which God gave it to Moses to give to you? And yet none of you keep the law, the Torah? We could say that today. None of the people keep the law. Didn't God give the law to Moses, and none of the people today keep the Torah? Why go you about to kill me? The people answered and said, thou hast a devil. Wow, that's blasphemy. Who goeth about to kill you? Yeshua answered and said unto them, I have done one work, and you all marvel. Moses therefore gave you circumcision, not because it's of Moses, but of the fathers, and you on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are you angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? That's so crazy, isn't it? He says, judge not according to appearance. We can't judge it according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment, which is really important. Then said some of them of Jerusalem, is not this he whom they seek to kill? But lo, he speaks boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Messiah? Howbeit, we know this man whence he is. We know where he's from. He's from the house over there. We know his parents. But when Messiah comes, no man knows whence he is. Then cried Yeshua in the temple as he taught, saying, you both know me, and you know whence I am, and I am not come of myself. But he that sent me is true, whom you know not. Wow. But I know him, I know the Father, and I am sent from the Father, and he hath sent me. Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him, because his hour was not yet come. And many of the people believed on him and said, when Messiah comes, will he do more miracles than these which this man had done? They all knew he did all these miracles that the average person can't do. The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Then said Yeshua unto them, yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. I go unto the Father which sent me. And you shall seek me, but you shall not find me. And where I am, thither you cannot come. Then said the Jews among themselves, whither will he go, that we shall not find him? Will he go unto the dispersed among the nations, the Gentiles, and teach the nations, the Gentiles? What manner of saying is this that he said, you shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither you cannot come? And here it is. Yeshua is doing the same thing we're doing today. Verse 37, in the last day, the great day of the feast. he's at the temple there. There must have been a giant sukkah. Yeshua stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture had said, Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And he is the living waters in Jeremiah. And we don't want to reject God. And of course it talks about this. But this he spoke of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Yeshua was not yet glorified. It's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard these sayings, said of a truth, this is that prophet that we read about in Deuteronomy. I think we read this the other day. Remember? A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto me. They said, this is that prophet. Others said, this is the Messiah. What do you mean? This is the Messiah. But some said, shall Messiah come out of Galilee? They didn't know he was born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem. Hath not the scriptures say that Messiah cometh of the seed of David, out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? And he was born there.
That's exactly where he's born. Why didn't they ask him?
So there was a division. There's always a division among the people because of him. And now that the same Yeshua brings division into homes, into people's lives. And just to do what he says, brings a division amongst relatives and friends. And Yeshua says, I came not to bring peace, but a sword. And there's going to be, the house is going to be divided. And that has happened. Families have been divided. Relatives have been divided. Friends have been divided. Acquaintances over this doctrine. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they said unto him, why have you not brought him? So these officers of the chief priests and the Pharisees, demanding to know what's going on here. But the officers answered, they were like taken back by Yeshua, and they said, never man spoke like this man. Then answered the Pharisees, are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed on him? Sure they did. Nicodemus was one of the chief rulers. But this people who knows the law are cursed. Nicodemus said unto them, he that came to Yeshua by night, being one of them, here he is. He says that, and he's so righteous, he goes, does our law, our Torah, judge any man before it hear him and knows what he does? And of course, they didn't like that. They answered and said unto him, art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. And every man went unto his own house. Of course, we don't know all the details that went down there that day. But I'm sure there's much more that are not written in this scenario. This is not a long, big study today, but it's a day we're going to just remember this rehearsal. We're rehearsing this, of course. We're hoping to be with God at one time. And if it happens in our lifetime, that'll be spectacular. And if not, we'll have to leave it to Zach. And if we're believing, or maybe little Zach, we don't know. But all I can say is this is a short study today, and it'll be on my servers. I'll upload it later. And thank you for being here today. So there's not a lot to talk about, except later we'll read about all the harvest times and the agricultural feasts, and how everything pertained to the time of the year and all the crops and everything that they did. And it has to do with really the last harvest, which is the spiritually talking about the harvest of the world, when God sends forth his angels and does some reaping himself, right? Well, anyway, I want to make sure you all know soon there's going to be rain, if you don't know about that. It's going to be called Bull soon. The eighth month is coming. Today we're only in the 22nd day. We got another, week or so before we know. Yeah, a little over a week before it's Bull. And you know what's sad? It's sad that the feasts of God are going to be over tonight at sundown, the fall feast again, and the fall holy days, and they're all over again. We rehearse them again, and just having them in your mind is probably just wonderful to know about them, And we have to beware, of course, all the pagan holidays are coming. Pretty soon, Halloween will be here. Did you guys know that Did you guys know that once upon a time, Halloween was banned in America? It was not even celebrated in this country until 1845. It was actually banned. But now it's everywhere, and everywhere we go, even, you know, this last week, they're having, even at the Home Depot, I mean, and Lowe's, they have all the Halloween decorations, and they're all, it's just about money. So anyway, and of course, you know, next month, they'll be doing, you know, from George Washington to Abraham Lincoln, you know, they'll be doing all their Thanksgiving things, which again, they weren't thanking the right God. What? You're not leaving
the country.
No, what I mean is, like, and they're not even thanking the God of Israel, which is ridiculous. They turned it into another, what is it, Turkey Day or something? Or beer football day? Yeah, it's ridiculous. And then, of course, after that, we got the crazy Christmas, which has nothing to do with God. Xmas. They even turned it into Xmas. They even X'd Christ out of the pagan holiday. Now they call it Xmas.
Might as well.
Might as well. So anyway, that's all I got to say for today. I hope you enjoyed a little bit of this study. And it has to. So we see from the time of the Torah all the way to the time of Solomon, and then all the way to the time of Nehemiah, and then all the way to the time to Yeshua, they all knew about the Feast of Tabernacles. And then, of course, I still can't find any record of anyone doing it. There's no histories that I could find with people doing the Feast of Tabernacles. Only this century that I'm living in, I know about people have some type of knowledge about the Feast of Tabernacles and Day of Atonement, you know, and the blowing of the trumpets. Because I can never find any histories in between. It seems like somebody deleted all the histories or rewrote them or changed them. So here we stand. And we're trying to proclaim them and profess them and try to pass it around to all your acquaintances and friends and, you know, relatives and whomever the Lord sends before you. I mean, it's really important. We're starting, and I'm very happy that God, this last month, gave us a cloudy day when everyone's looking for the blood tetrads and the new and all this nonsense, because that day has just come and gone. Nothing happened. We're still here. We know some people that were stocking up on food and, you know, fuel and buying extra this and extra that and buying silver, and the everything's going to collapse. Ridiculous. Ridiculous. All I can say is, you know, I'm so happy it was cloudy. It was sort of ducked out. We couldn't even see anything.
In the false prophets didn't want to say
false anything. Prophets.
Yeah, I didn't hear him talking about the word.
Have you heard any of those messages from all those people?
No, they couldn't.
Nothing happened.
Yeah, everyone's like, you know, I bet they're all thinking about a new book to write for maybe December or January.
No,
or,
no, it's 2033.
Well, 2033, which is, that's pretty far away for us.
Write a lot of books.
Nobody knows.
Between now and then, they can sell a lot of books and hype people up.
And they forget.
As far as the economy going down, if it goes down, that's wonderful for the people that are in the stock market, because then you could buy low.
That aren't in the
stock market, then you could buy low. But who cares? But it's still not the end of the world. We're still here. And I thank God for us knowing that false prophets still abound. Well, thank you for being here today. And did you want to say something? Sure.
In Revelation 21.
Revelation 21, what's that?
21:3, where he talks about, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God."
Amen.
That's good.
Tabernacle of God. That's what it's all about.
And then that's when he says he'll wipe away all tears. There won't be any pain.
Yeah, it'd be nice to have no more tears, no more sorrow.
That gives us something really to look forward to.
Can't imagine. No more sorrow, no more pain.
No crying.
No more crying. Just
tired.
Eternal joy. This all goes with I guess it all goes back to Genesis, you know. After the Sabbath, I guess the whole new life started, you know. And that's what we're waiting for, this time to live with God forever. Mm-hmm. Anyway, God bless you, and may God bless the rest of this day and the rest of whatever we do, sing, eat. May God make all the food for the nourishment of our bodies, and may God show us more revelation in His Word, more revelations, and may God help you in everything you do in your life. And we have to believe God that He's going to move in every one of our lives, because we keep His commandments. And we thank God for this gathering today, and we'll read some Bible and worship you, Father, in spirit and truth, because that's what you desire. And there's no certain place, but only in spirit and truth. And knowing you're in the midst of us, and I thank God for your Holy Spirit, and I thank God that we could do this today. Amen. God bless you.
Amen.
Shabbat shalom. I'm going to stop the video. Bye. Shabbat shalom for another ending of the feast and holy days for 2015. So that's over. And then we'll shut this.